Hey, Carl the Madman here. Welcome to this special episode brought to you by NeverTap.ca of MMAMadhouse.com Live, episode 126. Get Skippy in here. Hey, brother.
What's up, Carl?
I guess I'll talk to you tonight.
How are you, brother?
Nah, maybe not. I'm good. Selection.
Check out this selection right here. Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother. She birthed your monkey ass.
Hey, brother. Brother.
What's going on, fellas? Peeking on me.
Opened up your schedule. Opened up your schedule tonight. We're taking place of Full Guard Fight Radio. You know, the boys
well,
are busy
me we were
down
getting
at Bellator 94.
You told me
we
were getting 100 bucks
no,
apiece,
sorry.
Man. That's why we opened up our hearts and our wallets.
It's a Thursday night special.
Check
Amen.
In the mail.
Check is in the mail. I like
Check
it.
Is.
I like it.
Yeah.
Never Tap special tonight with Miss Sarah Kaufman. It's going to be a great little special.
So here's the question. Who is Never Tap?
They are a clothing distribution website and business.
See? And you go to nevertap.ca.
Yes, sir.
And you place your order.
And you get killer swag. You
oh,
can't
you get swag. You get swag? See, I don't like that bamberweed, man.
Dude,
I want some thunder.
Some thunder from down under. Hey, speaking of thunder, man, I think Miss Sarah Kaufman is going to come in and lay some thunder down. I'm excited to see this fight.
Don't blink. The peacemaker's coming.
Dude, but see, the thing is, Leslie's not a finisher. Not to me. And I see Kaufman finishing her. And I see her doing it in a devastating fashion. I see second round TKO. It's calling it, folks, right now. Hand held high, Miss Sarah Kaufman. I just think if it's – otherwise, I would have to go with the decision just because, they're both grinders. But I think Ms. Kaufman can grind her out and beat her down at the same time. I'm super excited to hear how her camp's going and see how excited she is to be fighting for Invicta. For everybody out there, it'll be Friday, April 5th at the Ameristar Casino and Hotel in Kansas City, Missouri. You can go, I believe it's $9.99 or $9 for the pay-per-view. Go to their Facebook page. You can. I think that's where they're going to be streaming it this time is through Facebook. So get it. It's worth it, man. What are there, 14 fights on this card this time? It's a sick card. And I definitely want to thank Never Tap for getting this together. I know that, it's a last-minute deal, and you guys stepped up and got us Ms. Kaufman a week out from the fight, so we're super excited about that. So we want to thank you guys. All you fans, go out there and check them out, man. They got some killer stuff.
At nevertap.ca.
Yes. You got to hit that CA because it's Canadian. But, it's funny. We were just talking to another Zuma fighter earlier this week, was it late last week?
Last week.
Yeah, Nathan Swayze. Hopefully he's healing up good, and we'll see him back quickly. Bro, I know
I'm
you're
trying to heal up good.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't look so hot tonight. Looks like the doctors did a number on you.
Yeah, but now I'm clear.
Now, how much did that play you going out and drinking last night before surgery?
That was a great idea. So Fuck, bro.
Carl,
that helps the sedatives, man. That helps the sedatives take over. You know, and I mean, if there was anything to go wrong, that's the best place to have it go wrong when you're already at the doctor's office, man.
Sir, how much did you have to drink after midnight?
Dude, but about last night. So I'm shooting pool last night. Then I start getting distracted by GFL and CFFC. But then, like, during one of my games of pool, so I've been shooting pool with my buddy for probably, like, 15 years, and we shoot probably, like, 40 or 50 games a week. And so this guy is just sitting in a booth, and he, like, starts talking shit about how he's, like, I beat my buddy, like, 3 games in a row, and he's, like, trying to say how my buddy's shooting better pool. And I was like, well, he might be shooting better pool, but he's not winning the games. But this dude keeps on talking shit. Then all of a sudden, dude, I'm about to, like, break a new game, and I look over, and some guy walks over to him and just unloads, like, 15 punches to this dude's face and then walks off.
Ooh! That's what happens when you're hanging out in a pool hall in Oregon on a Wednesday.
I contemplated actually pulling the guy off of him, but then I figured, you know, that in the interest of fair play, I should just bring one of the bouncers over. So the guy probably got in a couple more shots. That was the price you pay for talking shit in a game you're not involved in.
Well, let's just jump right to it. I'm assuming we lost our producer. I don't know where he's at right this second. But Miss Sarah Kaufman, are you live with us?
I'm here.
Hey, welcome to Madhouse Live. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Just finished training. Got a couple days left before Invicta 5 next Friday, so feeling pretty good.
We are super excited that you took the time out tonight to come talk to us, and super excited to see you fight for Invicta. You've gotten to fight for a lot of great organizations. How excited are you to fight for them?
You know, Invicta has done an amazing job of really showcasing the talent that is the females in the sport of mixed martial arts. And, you know, I've been happy to be a part of Strikeforce, and clearly I'm ecstatic to be a part of the UFC. And luckily it's at my weight class at 135 pounds. But especially for, you know, 105, 115, 125, and 145, you know, Invicta, it's such a great platform. They treat their fighters really well, and they're showcasing world-class talent. You know, I think they have something like, I don't know, 12 or 15 different countries, something like that, represented throughout the fights that they've had. And, I think that says a lot to, you know, to the owners and the promoters who run Invicta, that they're willing to go and search out the best people in the world and bring them together for these amazing fights that they've put on.
Well, you definitely, you mentioned it, the UFC as well. I mean, you've got a lot of doors that have really swung open this year for you. How exciting and how stressful has that been?
You know, I don't know if it's stressful. I think, you know, it's more exciting than anything else. I mean, you always want to kind of push yourself further and push the envelope and see what you're able to do. And for the past couple of years, I've been, you know, the Strikeforce champion, and then I lost that, and I worked my way back. And now to have the opportunity to be fighting for the UFC and to have an organization like Invicta putting on these high-level fights and consistently seeing so many females of the caliber that we're talking about, being able to perform and be seen and be known and have the fans know them. I mean, it's amazing. It's a great time for females right now.
And you have done something very interesting that I don't think any other fighter's ever done, and that's been given permission to go fight for another organization. And obviously they feel very strong in your abilities to go there and, you know, represent their company with a win. How exciting was that news when they said it was okay?
You know, I hope that they have that confidence in me, and I do believe that they do. You know, Leslie Smith isn't a pushover. She is going to come in, and she is going to fight, and she fights from the beginning of the first bell to the last 15, you know, the last 15 seconds of the 15th minute. I guess the 14th minute, but you know what I mean.
yes.
And so, you know, it's not an easy fight. It's going to be an exciting fight. And UFC and Zuffa has actually given permission to other females to fight in the Invicta promotion as well in the past. So, you know, they have a great relationship between Shannon Knapp and Sean Shelby, between the two of them to keep the females as active as possible.
Now, we were talking before you came on the show. I feel that your hands are what's going to win this fight. And I said it on the show earlier, second round TKO is what I feel that you're going to do to win this fight. But you touched on it. She is a grinder. She does like to go really deep. That's kind of her thing. She likes to push people's pace. Have you decided to change up anything in your normal training?
You know, I think that I'm always improving in all areas, and certain things that happen in some fights and certain things that you're able to utilize and capitalize on it in some fights with certain opponents, you're not able to in another fight with someone of a totally different skill set. And, you know, I think for the most part it's going to be an exciting fight regardless of where it is and what's happening. You know, she's known for stand-up and kind of like brawling, but, you know, she might come in and try and, you know, go for a takedown. You know, I might do the same thing. You know, it is an MMA fight, and I do have the skills all around. That being said, I love punching people from anywhere. So I would like a TKO in the second would be lovely. I mean, I think that would be nice. Or in the first or the third. Really, a win is great.
Sarah, how have you trained? Because Leslie sometimes likes to talk inside the cage a lot. How have you trained for that aspect of it, maybe?
You know, I don't really know if that's going to be a concern for me. I mean, she can talk to me as much as she wants, but if you're getting, you know, leather smacked in your mouth repeatedly, you know, that talking's going to stop pretty quick, I'd think.
Well, that's true. I mean, you've had other ladies, you know, like Shayna Blazer, you know, she's a very, you know, outgoing lady, it seems, sometimes before fights and even during them. That's something I feel that also gives you a huge experience or a huge points in this fight is your experience. You know, she is kind of newer to the sport compared to you. You've been in some deep battles with some high-level fights, and you've beaten some of the best in the world, not once but sometimes twice. You know, so once again, the total package, I feel that you've got more going for you in this fight. And I just see you making another run at a belt again, a belt that you want.
Well, I definitely, you know, I appreciate that, and I definitely hope that that's the case. You know, I go into every fight knowing that I have the skill set and the training behind me to win. It's just a matter of putting it together in the cage and making sure that night is my night. And I've been feeling great. The camp has been going really well. You know, I think that everything's falling into place for the potential to be a very exciting and fun fight for me.
You know, I got to ask because I'm just curious, but everything goes the way you want. You walk out with a victory, and then you go back to the UFC to compete there. Would you prefer to have a rematch with Ronda if there wasn't a title, or would you prefer just to go straight to a title fight if you had the options?
I mean, if you have the option, of course you want the title. I mean, that seems silly. I mean,
well,
you want the person who has the title, and I want the title. I definitely want the fight with Ronda back, but if she were to lose and I get a title shot, I'm not going to hold myself back to do that rematch. You know, if she has the title, then that's the match that I want. And ultimately, it's whoever has that title at the time is the person that I want.
Oh, I like that. I mean, so you go back there. They're building their division, and you're somebody that they feel is a crucial part of that. Have you had any kind of, you know, rumors or names thrown at you that they might want to see you fight for your debut there, or?
You know, really, that's up to my manager. I have no idea. Yeah, as I say, it really has nothing to do with me at this point. And I'm focused on Leslie Smith. I'm not focused on, you know, who I might fight after that. You know, everything is as important as your last fight and your next fight. So it's not, you know, I can't be looking 2, 3, 4 fights ahead. I you know, I can make a goal as to wanting to get the UFC title, and that is a goal, but it's not a specific, you know, I need to, you know, fight this person after I fight this person to fight this person after that. You know, I think it takes your focus away from what's right in front of you, and that's a dangerous opponent, you know, and every opponent is dangerous.
with you, you know, strictly focusing on Leslie, have you brought any females or have you traveled to train with any other females during this camp?
Yeah, at the beginning of my camp, I went down to Greg Jackson's camp, Mike Winklejohn, down in Albuquerque there. We try and Julie Kedzie and I are quite good friends and teammates, and, you know, I try and go down to help her, and she tries to come up to help me. And this time, actually before, kind of mid-February there, before the first female Ronda and Carmouche fight, I was lucky enough to have the time to get away from Zuma and go down and train for about a week with the team down there, Holly Holmes. You know, Michelle Watterson's fighting on the same card. Jody Esquibel is fighting on the same card as well on the Invicta card. So it was great to be around, you know, really high-level people. You know, I trained with the guys as well. And, you know, just get a little bit of a different perspective and then come back and put everything to use and listen to my coach, Adam Zujek, and make sure that he and Greg are on the same page, which they always are.
How much fun did you have with Holly in doing some stand-up work?
Holly's amazing. She's a lovely person. She's a very, very sweet person. A little bit intimidating at first. The first time I met her, I thought she hated me. But it's really that she's just shy, and I'm kind of the same with new people. And now I've gone down a couple of times, and she's lovely. We get along really, really well, and she's an amazing training partner.
How does that relationship with Zuma and Jackson's work out for you guys?
I mean, it's great. You know, Adam and I will go down. You know, Adam and Greg bounce information off of each other. Greg will come up here sometimes. You know, it's just a great relationship to have. You know, if you need different body types, if you need kind of a sounding board for game planning, or, you know, if I'm being a terror to train, if I'm, you know, being a terrible student, Adam can call and complain to Greg. And, you know, if Greg needs to, he can complain to Adam, but it's probably just the one way. But, you know, yeah, and I would say that we're just kind of a big family. Like we all get along really well. We all respect each other a lot. And I think because of that, you know, the opinions, and maybe if we don't agree with all the techniques that we show each other, you know, something might not work for me that would work for Greg, which wouldn't work for Adam, you know, and kind of vice versa all the way around. We have the ability to kind of pull that apart and not let that cloud the relationship.
Now, are you pretty much done with heavy days for this camp, and you're just really in the tail end of maintaining cardio and stuff like that?
No, still have tomorrow will be another hard day, Saturday will be a hard day, and then after that it'll kind of be, you know, just kind of pad work and not much contact after Saturday. 2 days, yay!
Now, are you excited for that day, or are you more excited for the first day of camp?
You know, I think there's so many parts of camp that are really exciting. First day of camp, you're super pumped because you know you have a fight and you have a date, and having that goal, especially in a sport or in an activity that's kind of grueling a lot of the time. You know, training's awesome, but to have something to focus on, you know, it's kind of like in life. You always want to have that goal. And so that first day, you're giddy and you're excited and you're ready to go. You know, and I think that hopefully that sticks with you throughout camp. But first day is also a little bit daunting because, you know, here's the weight cut coming up, lots of training. You're probably, I try and stay in decent shape. I would never say that I get out of shape because I'm in the gym all the time, you know, 6 days a week, regardless if I have a fight or not. But just that intensity level changes. And so the first, you know, couple weeks are a little bit grueling in that you're kind of constantly everything sore and tired. And then you kind of get back to that towards the end of the camp. Like, you know, you feel great in training, but it's just the volume is a lot. And, you know, I've actually been really lucky this camp. I don't really have any niggling injuries, but you usually have something that's bothering you that you're working through. And so kind of the last hard session is like, oh, thank goodness. Now it's kind of the weight cutting, which is not the fun part, and then the fighting, which is.
Now, what is the first thing Sarah Kaufman tracks down after the fight to eat?
My ultimate is like really good quality, super garlicky and cheesy garlic cheese bread. That's like the number one. I could always eat that after weigh-ins or after a fight.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the garlic cheese bread myself.
Yeah, but it has to be like the, you know, like the thick, like the Texas toast kind of, like a thick bread with like super seeped in garlic butter. And then a lot of like melted but also kind of crispy cheese. Oh, yeah.
I like garlic parmesan fries. I like doing French fries.
I've never tried those,
garlic.
But that sounds amazing.
Oh, man, you get the French fries like good and crispy, and then you just clarify butter with garlic in it. You take a small ladle of the butter and the garlic and you toss it and then cover it with fresh parmesan and some basil. Oh,
sounds
so good.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely can't eat that right now, but sounds like I should be able to.
Well, and, you know, as many times as you've had a chance to step up for big fights throughout your career, has your weight issue gotten any easier in the last few years? Has the ability to control the weight cut with all the times and the knowledge of the coaches you've had?
You know, I think that weight cutting, I mean, it's definitely an art form. And some people do sauna really well, and it's super easy. Some people do, pad work. Some people do, I do a distilled water load and Epsom salt bath and kind of mix it up. And for me, I figured out what works for me. And, you know, I've kind of passed that knowledge on to the guys who I help coach and who I'm teammates with at Zuma when they have weight cuts. And some of them really like what I do and some of them don't. And it's really a matter of figuring out your body and what works for you. So at this point, I do feel like my weight cut for the most part is kind of down to a science. And I feel pretty comfortable going into, you know, fight week knowing, hey, this is where my weight is. This is what I'm going to need to do. And slowly start to see that weight coming down and then make the cut easier when it actually comes, you know, the brunt, you know, sitting there and sweating it out.
So, Kansas City next week, when will you fly in?
Yeah, so I'm actually leaving April 1st, so the Monday, and flying in down to Kansas City there, and then I'll have, you know, a day or two to kind of figure out my surroundings, do any necessary, you know, media or photo shoots or anything like that. And start the weight cut Wednesday night and finish cutting weight on Thursday and fight Friday, come back Saturday.
Now, has the media part that you just touched on, has that ever become a nagging issue for you, or is it something you enjoy to do?
I think that I actually don't mind doing it at all. I mean, I think some people are more enjoyable to talk to than others, although for the most part I've enjoyed almost all the interviews that I've done. I've only had a couple where, you know, it was a little bit like pulling teeth and I was forced to talk to someone who either didn't really care for the sport or didn't care for females in the sport. But usually that's more related to kind of smaller papers and that kind of thing, or if they just don't have that kind of open-mindedness yet. But I think that it's really important to get your fight known, to have the fans know that you're fighting, and if you don't have that, then, you know, people aren't going to be watching and promoters aren't going to want to have you on their cards.
So you feel, you know, being able to use social media is very important for today's fighters coming up?
It's huge right now, probably more so than I'd like because I'm not very tech savvy, but, you know, I'm trying to constantly get better at all the social media side of things. But it's super important to kind of stay connected with your fans. And MMA is probably one of the leading sports for having access from fans directly to the athlete.
At what point does the access get to be too much, though?
I mean, there's definitely lines that are crossed. It's kind of the whole keyboard warrior thing, right? So anyone can say anything at any given time. And with Twitter, you know, someone can mention you and, you know, I've been called some pretty nasty, disgusting things, from people who, for one, don't know who I am, don't know anything about me, kind of take something and twist it around. But at the end of the day, I think you probably have, you know, 1,000 people who are supporting you for every one or two who are in disagreement. So you have to roll with the punches, and I'm funny. But yeah, just kind of let it happen and try and stay positive and not get too caught up in answering every single person's, you know, tweet or reply or, you know, comment. You know, sometimes you have to do a general, you know, thank you for the support, because trying to answer everyone's comments can just take too much time.
No, it's very true. And I think that at times people forget that it's not always Sarah Kaufman, the fighter, that they're talking to. You know, there's also Sarah Kaufman, the person that isn't, a MMA fighter all the time. So, I mean, it's got to be a very fine line to walk for them. But at the same time, there's got to be times where you're like, I just want to turn Twitter off and never get back on here. Facebook,
yeah,
and never get back on here.
Yeah, there's definitely times where you kind of want to step away from the media side of things and from the public eye and just take a couple days to be on your own and not have to reply or kind of have constant updates coming to your phone or anything like that. But, I mean, ultimately it's what's propelling the sport, and the fans are what are keeping, you know, they're the ones that are keeping me fighting and keeping me relevant and showing me that I have that support. So I really appreciate it.
Well, and you touched on them supporting you. Like, you know, we know a lot of younger fighters, especially, you know, the generation of kids now coming up in the Naga competitions and stuff. When you get a tweet from some young girl holding up a trophy and she's like, thanks, you're my hero or my idol or my, you know, somebody I look up to. I mean, on a bad day, and you see that, does that lift you up and get you back into the gym with a little bit more oomph?
100%. I mean, there are a lot of really inspirational stories that kind of come through the social media side of things. I'm honored that I'm able to – sorry, my coach is just being silly while I'm trying to say nice things about people.
Tap out real quick for us live on the air.
So it's definitely just a matter of feeling like I'm appreciated, but also that I can give back to the community. And I've actually, I mean, at Zuma, I've started a 3 to 5 year old, just call them our little bulldogs, class. And I mean, they're adorable. And then I teach my other kids that are, you know, kind of 6 to 13. And some of those little girls and little boys are starting to compete as well. Mostly in jiu-jitsu and grappling. And it's just amazing to kind of feel their excitement and their passion for the sport that's come through kind of what I've shared. So it's great to give back as well.
No, and you do. I think it's great because you give back not only to your community there, but you give it back to the MMA community, and you give to all those fans that get to enjoy watching your performances. You know, and before we run out of time with you, I want you to have a chance to give any shout-outs to any sponsors, any social media for fans to find you, even on the days you don't want them to.
Yeah, you know, I really want to just thank everyone who's been supportive so far. And make sure that if people don't know, you know, Invicta FC is an amazing organization. The fight's on April 5th with Leslie Smith. There's also 2 world title fights for both 105 and 125 pounds. And not only that, you know, it's only $10 to watch. So make sure if you can, find a live stream, you know, find an internet source. April 5th starts 6 Mountain Time? Central Time. Central Time starts at 6. And, you know, InvictaFC.com has all the information there. You know, so that's for the fight. I really hope that everyone can watch and support such a great organization. They're doing great things. I'm honored to be able to fight for them. And, you know, I definitely have to thank my sponsors who've made this possible. NeverTap has been a big supporter. Fuel Supplements Victoria. VFG Group Financial. Rev Gear as well. And then, of course, my team, Zuma Martial Arts. The Jackson Camp, Mike Winklejohn. They've been amazing support, as always. And, of course, if you don't follow me on Twitter, I'm at MMA Sarah. You can also find me on Facebook and send messages, although I don't. I'm not as good at checking Facebook as I am at Twitter, so I'm not ignoring you. It's a lot for me sometimes. And, yeah, and lastly, I mean, thanks to you guys. And if you haven't voted yet, I did make an Invicta Harlem Shake video. There's a contest, And whoever gets the most votes on their video gets $1,000. I did it with my jiu-jitsu kids. I told them that if we won, I'd throw them a pizza party. And currently we're down by like 1,000 votes or something. So I'm really hoping that we can get that going, and so I can give them the pizza party.
Yeah, it really looks like Beck Hyatt has that on lockdown right now. I think she has like almost more votes than like everybody else combined or something.
I think she might at this point. She really got the underground behind her. You know, she does have some pretty cute kids, and she wants to take them to Movie Land, but still.
But speaking of videos, did you see that Rose video that she put out like 2 days ago?
Yeah, she put it out late. It's amazing.
Yeah,
I really like Rose a lot, and Pat Barry. They're awesome people.
They are. Well, we know that you just wrapped up training. We know your coach is harassing you, so we're going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your evening. Hey, we wish you the best of luck. Like always, MMA Madhouse, we watching and supporting you and all the lady fighters on the card.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You guys have a good night there, and tell everybody at Zuma we said hello.
I will, for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Everybody, that was the great Sarah Kaufman. You guys can catch her down at Invitka SC5, April 5th. You guys, Kansas City at the Ameristar Casino Hotel in Kansas City, Missouri, if you can get there. If you can't, $10 for the pay-per-view, man, and it's worth every penny, man. This card is stacked from top to bottom.
And let's give a shout-out to nevertap.ca for hooking that interview up. That was greatly appreciated.
Yes, good people. You guys need to get up there and check out their all the merchandise. Man, they got everything that you could want. And
you follow
on
Twitter, nevertap1.
I'm number one.
Give them a follow on What? Give them a follow on Twitter at NeverTap1, and, you know, NeverTap's also on Facebook. You know, thank you guys for, you know, working on your night off and doing this.
Hey, no
There
problem.
Are no night offs, man. Even
I was just
going to
say, not that we have
surgery.
Night offs, but...
Even
yeah.
post-op
You're a warrior,
surgery.
Man.
I
hey,
told
everybody.
You guys.
That's a big baller. I want everyone to know right now, Lepaki is hustling on the mic. After the doctor ripped out like 22 teeth or something that were ingrown and crooked.
Oh,
and, I mean,
shit!
Did he just knock him out? Oh, he did it!
Oh,
he knocked him out! He knocked him out!
David motherfucking Rickles with that alpha brain right hand right there on Saad Awad. Awad doesn't even know what the fuck just happened. He's like, hey...
Dude. That's live, folks. You guys are catching this right now. I mean, we just saw. I called it all day at the bar. I said, you guys watch. We're just going to come out and knock him out.
Thanks, guys.
Eagle! There's NeverTap.ca.
Eagle.
We made it rough.
Oh, spray.
Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.